You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. And, of course, you can join our conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. We've been talking about economic illiteracy, how you might eliminate yours, and what stories you might tell about learning about the economy in a way that maybe helped your own personal prosperity, or economic ignorance you'd love to get rid of at a certain point. We also, it's the 40th birthday for the Big Mac, and some of you have actually sent in alternative jingles for the Big Mac to replace the one that I'm not going to sing again this hour. We're also talking about communities around the United States in an environment of $130, $140 barrel of oil are rethinking their relationship with their land. For instance, imagine you're a resident of a rural community out in the West in the Great Plains, and the economy has been tough, and all of a sudden somebody comes to town and says this.
This finery is going to be the most advanced state-of-the-art facility in the United States and the world.
That's Preston Phillips, project engineer for a company called Hyperion, speaking at a public input hearing in Elk Point, South Dakota in late fall, where the people of that community are considering building a large oil refinery in their community, a community that doesn't have a lot of oil. It's a remote farming community in South Dakota, and plans are underway to make Union County, South Dakota, the home of this country's first new oil refinery in 30 years. The company behind the project promises jobs and that the refinery will be something called a green energy center. Too good to be true. Johanna Saylor, who's a news producer, for South Dakota Public Broadcasting, based in Sioux Falls, joins us now. Johanna, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
This is a radically new debate for the people of South Dakota, but it's a sign of the times, right?
It really is, and I think a lot of people here in South Dakota are a bit dumbfounded when they found out that it was going to be an oil refinery, because like you mentioned, we don't have oil in South Dakota, particularly not in eastern South Dakota. So why would they pick a rural area? And I think part of it is just that the business climate is good in South Dakota, low taxes, so it's easy for a company to come in. It's a good selling point for South Dakota. And plus, South Dakotans are always looking for economic development, particularly in rural areas.
Let's outline a couple of the details here, because this is beyond the pipe dream stage. Zoning for the project has allowed it to at least initially go forward. And secondly, where are you going to get the oil since you can't drill it out of your own ground?
Oh, sure. The rezoning of agricultural land, about 32,000 acres has been approved, or excuse me, 3,200 acres has been approved by the county commission, and also voters went to a public vote. And so it is moving forward into the permitting stage. Now, where they plan to get the oil is up in Canadians' tar sands, and they plan to pipe it in. We don't know exactly where the pipeline would go. Those details haven't been released. They said they're still considering their options. Coincidentally, though, there is another company, TransCanada and ConocoPhillips, who are planning to build a pipeline that would run from Canada down to Texas, and it would come through South Dakota, and that would transport 1.1 million barrels per day. So that's an option, but both companies are saying, there's no real connection, but it's a possibility.
And that's really just one part of the story, the economics of it all. What is the concern of some of those in South Dakota who are not quite sure they want to have oil pipelines going through their backyard?
Well, sure. Well, of course, there's the environmental concerns. They're worried about air quality. They're worried about the water. This oil refinery probably picked this site in South Dakota because it is really close to the Missouri River. They say they need 12 million gallons of water each day to power the refinery. So that's one reason they'd be looking at it. But residents are saying, well, you know, what's that going to do to the environmental aspect of this rural community? But also quality of life is huge, because you have farmers. A lot of these farmers that are in the area, They're generational. We have one fellow, his grandfather, Dale Harkness, started farming this land in the late 1800s, and he's been in this county since. And it's really great farmland, really plush, gets lots of moisture, lots of corn and soybeans come out of this area.
Well, let's hear Dale actually express those concerns in some tape of an interview that you did with him. Here's Dale Harkness talking about his concerns.
I guess the good Lord give us the opportunity to enjoy that land, this community, raise our family in this area. I don't think he gave us the opportunity to enjoy that farm so we would turn it over to be destroyed by an oil refinery. destroying it would be a dirty shame. That's why, one of the reasons we're fighting.
Wow. It's, you know, you can hear in his voice this trade-off, but it sounds, if voters have already approved the zoning, that a lot of people are willing to make this trade-off.
You know, it is, because I think that they're looking at the economic development benefits. Hyperion is promising, once built, it will provide 1,800 good-paying jobs. There's some opportunities with the public universities. The universities are excited to maybe start some new degree programs within the oil business, providing more opportunities for young people. South Dakota's had an issue in recent years of young people leaving the state to find other opportunities because the high-paying, you know, high-tech jobs just aren't in the state. So there's a lot of people looking at all the benefits the refinery has, and they might not live right next to it, like Dale Harkness.
Here's a last question, and really, really quickly. We talked with people from another community early on in the morning about the issue of oil companies having a lot more expertise than the people in these communities, and that it's easy for them to maybe do something on the order of a snow job to get things fast-tracked. Do you see that going on here in South Dakota, or are people sophisticated and know what it is they're buying here?
Well, I think there is a ton of mistrust. This project started as being dubbed the Gorilla Project. Hyperion came in, and they're looking for some land options. They didn't tell anybody what their project was going to be. Well, enough pressure and enough speculation and enough rural chatter brought it out that it was going to be an oil refinery. Otherwise, I don't think they would have released those details to the public so early.
Can't hide anything on the internet these days. Johanna Saylor, news producer for South Dakota Public Broadcasting, talking about a debate that is definitely going on and a sign of the economic times in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Now, headlines from Femi Oke.
Thanks, John. Just coming up to 20 minutes to the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.